For the next few minutes, I want to think with you about what we can believe about life everlasting. In all his teachings and throughout the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus never once mentions immortality. In every case, Jesus mentions eternal life or life everlasting. Immortality is not a Christian doctrine. Archaeologists have dug up graves of men who lived 10,000 years ago and have found dishes for food and hunting weapons and that point to a crude definition of life after death. The North American Indians have their happy hunting grounds. The Greeks had their island of the blessed beyond the horizon. The Hebrews and Homer had a belief in a dim, shadowy existence in a bleak world. So immortality is not a Christian doctrine, but eternal life is our Christian belief. Now, just what is the difference between immortality and eternal or life everlasting? I believe life everlasting is qualitative, while immortality is quantitative. I remember years ago, I recall hearing a minister make a statement about eternal life was like a bird that took a grain of sand in its beak and flew from the earth to the nearest star, a journey of 1,000,000 miles, and then returned in like fashion until the whole earth was carried away. And then he said, "This is just the beginning of eternal life." However, I think he should have said immortality. For me, this is to miss the point entirely of Jesus' teaching. But endless time is not the important aspect of eternal life. In fact, I think time shouldn't even be part of the equation. George Bernard Shaw once stated that if a man's life were extended from 70 to 300 years, that death would be a welcome release from this world of time and of circumstance. Think of the happiest moments of your life. Was it when you graduated from school? Was it finishing a creative piece of endeavor? Or was it a week at summer camp? I think that everlasting life is a condition like when we see a loved one again after a long absence. We sit down and start talking, and before we know it, hours have flown by. Or it is like when we are engrossed in creating something. How time flies. We pastors experience this quality every week when we prepare our sermons. We sit down and begin to create our thoughts into a message with a purpose. And as we write, time is not even important. We don't even know what time it is. And from the time we begin until we finish, the 4 hours whizzes by, and it's just like, yes, it just happens. I believe life everlasting is like that. Not a billion years, but a quality of living life to the full. Again, I don't believe Jesus had in mind that eternal life began when we die. It's not like a geographical boundary that once we cross the border of California, we go to some other state. Or that once we die, we are in eternal life. Listen to Jesus' statement in John, the 11th chapter, the 25th and the 26th verses that were read by way of scripture this morning. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Life everlasting begins here and now, and it is a quality of life. I recall when I was In the Second World War, I was getting ready to ship overseas, and I went down, we got to San Francisco, and we got on this big ship, and I was, the ship had 1,000 crew, and it had about 8,000 soldiers, and then a tugboat hit the back of that ship and did something to the rudder, and so it was put in dry dock, and then we were all put over to some barracks, We had to stay in the barracks while they were fixing the ship. And while we were in the barracks, we weren't in any kind of order or anything. We just were told to go to a certain barracks, and we went to a certain barracks. In the meantime, we had to wait for 3 weeks, at least 3 weeks. In the meantime, some of the 3,000 men in our company began writing letters home, and they began receiving letters. And they were not assigned to barracks in any order, so they asked for anybody that were postal volunteers, anybody that worked in a post office. That's what they said, Well, I'd carried packages during, Christmas season and that sort of thing. So I put up my hand and I said, I'll be one, and two other guys. And then, lo and behold, here we had this big problem. All this mail was coming in for each one of these fellas, and nobody knew where they were. And so we had to set up a whole situation here. We had to get a mail clerk in each one of the barracks, and we had to get a roster of everybody that was in the barracks, and then we had to get all the letters spread out and figured out which one went where. It was a big job. We had... we had 3,000 people. There were 30 mail clerks, and here I was in charge of the whole thing, and I was this is funny. Oh, I tell you, this is funny, because I was in charge of the whole thing, and nobody had strikes, because we all had fatigues, they didn't have any stripes on them whatsoever. And so Sunday came, and I came in to work there, and all the guys were there, and they had on their suntans, and they had all their stripes. And here I didn't have any stripes at all, and I was the big boss of the whole thing. And here I was ordering master sergeants around and all kinds of people. It was really a weird thing. At any rate, what I'm trying to get to is that we went in there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we just got in there and started doing everything, and all of a sudden somebody said, hey, it's lunchtime. We went and had lunch. And then after lunch, we went back to work, and then somebody said, hey, it's dinner time. I think we better quit. And time didn't mean a thing. It was a condition. And this is the condition of eternal life. Time doesn't exist. Notice Jesus said, whoever lives and believes, and this is a present tense. It's not something past, and it's not something future. Life everlasting begins now. In other words, in Jesus' thoughts, there are a lot of people walking the earth today who are literally dead, spiritually dead. You don't have to look very far around you today to see a person or a family that is dead, merely existing, not happy, but tolerating life. Living their years in a land of personal shadow where they're not happy and enthusiastic about anything in life. Can't you see the difference between this gray, colorless people and the people who reflect all the colors of the rainbow? Maybe I'm getting metaphysical here, but as I talk to people, I like to see the personality colors. A person who is worried and upset and unhappy, to me, radiates a gray, colorless personality. Whereas a well-adjusted, happy person radiates the yellows and the blues and the reds and the golds of his or her personality. And like a beautiful flower garden attracts the attention of everyone and gives them a lift. So these individuals radiate happiness in the lives of all the people around them as they talk to them. Oddly enough, in my observations, I find that the real Christian is usually one of these colorful personalities, and you feel it as you talk to them. Now, this is something like our Master taught when he states, "You believe in me, and you shall live." Life everlasting begins when we decide to mean business with God through Jesus Christ. By now, you must realize that to me, religion is more than just a worship service once a week. It is the only way to live a really happy life. And once a person says yes to Jesus Christ and his teachings and his pattern of life, that person is living in the realm of life everlasting. This is the philosophy and faith of a person who believes in eternal life, beginning right here and now. Notice that they aren't afraid because God is in control of their life. And yet men and women today turn their backs on God and the Christian way of life, and they say, like the song of Invictus, "I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul." How foolish to place ourselves on an equal with God. How foolish to think that we can determine to break God's laws and live the life of happiness. It can't be done. It is as simple as that. So life everlasting begins here and now with our decision. But what happens after death to those who love and obey God? In the most comforting chapter in the Bible, in John, the 14th chapter of John, we read these words of Jesus. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Naturally, you recognize that this is from the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, because it states, "In my Father's house are many rooms instead of mansions." At first, I didn't like this passage. I like the idea of having a mansion when I go to heaven instead of a room. Yet, all mansions I've ever seen have been isolated, alone on the thousands of acres of land. Whereas a room in my Father's house means that I will be in constant fellowship with him, not isolated from him. So, in life after death, we will be with our Master, whom we love. We will live in a state of complete happiness with people of like minds. I don't think we'll sit on a cloud and play harps for billions of years. No one knows where, what, or how life after death with our Lord Jesus Christ will be lived. Jesus himself told Nicodemus in John, the 3rd chapter and the 12th verse, If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe them, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one knows what heaven is like. All the descriptions of the second Jerusalem in Revelation and visions of heaven are merely man trying to tell in three dimensions, what a life after death might be like. Actually, we may go to a place that has 6 or 7 or 8 dimensional world. We may go to another planet. We may go to another galaxy. No one knows, and who cares? As long as we are with God and our Lord Jesus Christ, that's enough for me. Now, what about hell? Well, in John 3:18, we read, "He who believes in him," Jesus Christ, "is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already." And again, you can create your own living hell in this life, here and now. Now, by not following the Lord Jesus Christ, this qualitative extension will continue in life after death. Nowhere does Jesus compromise with the popular belief that God will forgive everyone after death. It's either death here and now or life here, everlasting with Christ here and now. And each of us will choose the way he shall go here and now. I've seen the difference between death and life in the life of a young soldier back in 1938, and that's a long time ago. Up in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, my dad had a church up there in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. And one cold, and it really gets cold up there, cold, stormy night, a drunken soldier came in and sat on the back seat of the church, and he was in there to get warm. I could smell the alcohol in his breath, and I thought to myself, he isn't hearing a word Dad's saying. But the next week, you know something? That soldier was back, only this time he was sober. And then a few weeks later, he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and began coming to church regularly. And one day the captain came down to Dad's study and said, "What have you done to Jake? He was the company drunk. He was the worst soldier I ever had in my whole outfit. Today he's the finest soldier. I've already made him corporal, and I'm considering to make him sergeant." And Dad said, "I didn't do anything. Jake merely accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in his life, and he's living a Christian life now." And the last thing we heard of Jake was that he was up in Alaska, happily married, and the chief warrant officer. This is life everlasting, beginning right here and now. It's the difference between happiness and frustration. It's life and death. It's our decision to live for God or to live for ourselves. Only we can decide. You'd be surprised to see the spiritual growth of individuals that decide to follow God. On my first base in the Air Force, in desperation, a couple came to me for help in their home life. After three sessions of counseling, and I was talking to them, I saw that I was limited in being able to help them. And I suggested that they attend chapel regularly every Sunday and ask God to help them in prayer during the week. And over the next 8 months, I saw them once a week. And they never missed a Sunday. And they joined our adult Bible class of 40 adults. And believe it or not, they became a changed couple, and their love deepened, and their happiness became visible, and their home became Christian. Where I couldn't help them personally, God stepped in and blessed them. This was hard even for me to understand, but it happened, and it is still happening today. When you get right down to it, everyone has to decide to follow God for themselves. There just isn't any inherited Christian character. And once we decide for God, we begin living the condition of eternal life. It's the difference between happiness and frustration, or life and death. And the final decision is up to us. Now is a good time to make a decision or to rededicate our lives to God. It's a time to silent prayer. Let's do it today. Just pray, "Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my sins, and help me to live as you want me to live. In Jesus' name, amen." Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, come into all of our lives this morning and help us with the living of our lives. Help us to find that happiness and the joy that you want for each and every one of us, no matter what our situation is in life. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.